right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Crazy Dems, Volume 3. I hope everybody's ready for it. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Let's see here. We got Black Bar 201 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Praise Holler is on. Those Jesus people is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Michelle Tall is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Sergeant Nick is on. Dave Souders is on. Bill F1 is on. Goozy 600 already in the rant. Thank you so much. Is on. Guitar Glenn is on. PD Frank 1974 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Bud Dave is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Let's see, Lisa Kenzer is on, Tim L. T-Bird is on, Judy Anita is on, Gucci Buckeye is on, Skunk 71 is on, Producer Aaron is on, Sparky 8142 is on, Veronica 18201 is on, Wade Away is on, Leon Fish Puppy is on, DK Jackson is on, the one and only Clean Sanchez is on, Hassle Free TV is on, Will Gilbert is on, Big Jim Go Blue is on, Alaska Man is on, TJT1 is on, Green Rose Patriot is on, Sheila K is on, Chopper Supernut is on. Let's see here, Uncle Wally is on, Deb New 2011 is on, JD Wool is on, Joe Heathen is on, Therese 46 is on. Scrolling down, Golf Master 1 is on, Jim Brody is on. Peg McGroin is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Boy 7 Howdy is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. All right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just going to jump into the crazy. Well, going to do a couple things before we get to Crazy Dems. Going to cover actually some substantive things first, and then we're going to make fun of Democrats probably for the rest of the show because it's fun. All right. So anyway, let's go to this. The Ed Martin nomination. And just so everybody knows, these are the things that slip between the cracks. And people outside of us, the red-pilled ones, don't even know what's happening here. He is the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Washington, D.C. Now, can anybody guess how important that is? The reason being is that is who decides who tries cases. If he does not get confirmed, right? You're like, well, he's already the United States attorney for the District of Columbia. No, he's the acting district attorney for the District of Columbia. That runs out very shortly. John Fredericks has a plan to extenuate it. But anyway, if that runs out, guess who chooses who oversees all the cases? Jeb Boasberg. Yeah, the guy who ruled against Donald Trump shutting down NGOs that his wife and his daughter personally benefited from, that guy. That's the guy who keeps putting himself as the judge, even on a Saturday afternoon. He's supposed to right now select the judges, and instead he puts himself as the judge every time in every Trump case that's filed by Norm Eisen or by the ACLU, which is all one and the same. So if Ed Martin does not get picked, the prosecutors that prosecute cases will be assigned by Jeb Boasberg. In other words, he'll even be hiring them. That's how important this stuff is. Nobody ever gets any of this stuff. And again, I am not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the stupid non-red-pilled people. You know, Trump won. That's the end of it. We're victorious. No, Trump is held up majorly in court right now with over 200 lawsuits filed against him, basically to try to keep MS-13 and Tren de Aragua in the country. And if they are removed from the country, let's go get them back. That's really what's happening right now. Trump's only able to deport 2,000 to 3,000 people a week right now. He's actually slated to deport between 500,000 and 1 million people for his entire presidency right now, if we continue on with these numbers. And they'll try to slow them down even more. And in cooperation and capitulation is the Rhino Republicans that are just part and parcel of all this. And I'm going to show you this as an example with the Ed Martin situation. Tom Tillis, the senator out of North Carolina. And it's funny how he barely wins, but Donald Trump crushed North Carolina. Because Tom Tillis tries to assuage both sides. Whenever you try to assuage both sides, you're going to lose your seat. Every time. Because you have to have your base. You have to have your base come out. That should be rule one for everybody. If you want to try after you know that your base is coming out to somehow get a few people that are moderates, that's one thing. But when you are trying to assuage the left, you are simply going to lose, or you just turn into a Ben Sasse. You just turn into a Mitt Romney. You turn into a Collins and a Murkowski and a Cornyn. You just turn into people that are actually voted in by Democrats pretending to be Republicans because you are, in fact, yourself a Republican, a Democrat pretending to be a Republican. All right, so let's go line by line with this Hans Mackey tweet. Yeah, as insane as it sounds, it's true. If Senate Republicans, and of course the usual litany of Republicans are involved in this, the usual ones. It's Murkowski, it's Collins, and you know then you have the intermittent ones that come in, like Tom Tillis, Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is 80% less conscious than Joe Biden was on his worst day right now. That's how bad Mitch McConnell is off. And I don't want to make fun of anybody's physical conditions. I'm just saying that's an absolute fact. Mitch McConnell is not coherent. Mitch McConnell his seats should already be vacated. And there should be, sadly though, if his seat got vacated, Andy Beshear, the governor of somehow the Democrat governor of Kentucky, which you have Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell as your senators. Kentucky went 20 points for Trump, and somehow Andy Beshear, who's left of Stalin, is your governor? That's the guy who is trying to arrest pastors for keeping their churches open. During the COVID pandemic. I can't even classify it because everything you say about it's absolutely a lie, pandemic. But anyway, so back to this. So as insane as it sounds, if Senate Republicans block the Senate Republicans block the confirmation of Ed Martin, anti-Trump activist judge James Boasberg, yes, the same one who is blocking deportation flights and who helped cover up the Russiagate fraud. It goes all the way back to that. Will get to handpick the U.S. attorney instead. So he will pick the person who's going to decide whether or not to try cases. Right now, Boasberg can't decide whether to try cases. He can simply decide whether to put himself over the case. If Ed Martin is not confirmed, then Jeb Boasberg will be able to pick the U.S. attorney over D.C. He could put Hillary Clinton there. He could put Jasmine Crockett there. He could put Letitia James there. He could put anybody he wants. He could put Norm Eisen there. And that would be the person who decides whether to try Donald Trump for various crimes that don't exist. Everybody realizes what they do, right? Where was Navarro tried? Where was Bannon tried? All in Ed Martin's district. Now Ed Martin's district. So they never would have been tried if Ed Martin was the U.S. attorney at that time. Who was it then? Matthew Graves. Who's again left of Stalin, and it's hard because every time a name comes up, I want to go into a 27-minute backtrack dissertation about that person, like Matthew Graves, but I'm not going to do it. I mean, but in my head, I want to do it really bad. I'm not going to do it because it's OCD to keep doing it. But anyway, so that's what will happen. He can pick anybody he wants. Think about that. So that person will then decide whether to try criminal cases against Trump administration members, because all those cases would have to be tried in D.C. Remember under Tanya Shuckin, that was the Trump insurrection case brought by Jack Smith. It's not called insurrection, but that's basically what he was charged with. That was brought by Jack Smith. That was under Matthew Graves, decides whether or not to file those charges in the District of Columbia. Same with Navarro, same with Bannon, same with General Flynn. Same with Roger Stone. All those cases were tried in D.C. That's why it's so important to have the right person deciding whether or not to charge people with crimes. All right, let's go to the next one. Western Lensman video. Now, here is the idiot himself. Tom Tillis explains why it is that he's a no vote on Ed Martin. Play for me.
It sounds like your concerns were not
But let me be very clear, though. Mr. Martin did a good job of explaining the one area that I think he's probably right, that there were some people that were over-prosecuted. But there were some, 200 or 300 of them, that should have never gotten a pardon, and he agreed with that. But the disagreement there had more to do. If Mr. Martin were being put forth as a U.S. attorney for any district except the district where January 6th happened, the protest happened, I'd probably support him. but not in this district.
When you say he's not being advanced to the markup, was he operating under that understanding that he's not being advanced through to a markup?
I think Mr. Martin, I'm sure they're looking through it. I mean, be clear, some of the deadline has to do with the length of time he can operate as acting, and the administration can work through that if they want to have more time and potentially work them through. But at this point, I've indicated to the White House I wouldn't support his nomination.
As Trump card.
See, imagine being Tom Tillerson, that ignorant, in the power position that he is. Again, we do not send, with the notable exceptions, but very few, whether you're talking about the 100 in the Senate, 435 in the House. Okay, out of 535 people, about 12 of them are decent human beings. I'm not kidding you. I'm talking about both House and Senate. I'm telling you about 12 people are. The rest of them are charlatan hucksters, and Tom Tillis is one of them. He has the veneer. He looks like a Mr. Grandfather. You know, they're all like that. You know, it says he, and Aaron said it, he's just like another Mike Pence. He has the look. That's all that he has. It reminds me of Jesus talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. That's how he is. Not that he appears beautiful outwardly, but I'm just saying he has the look of a conservative Republican, but that's all that he is. He's actually a bent over coward. That's who he is. Because what's his beef with Ed Martin? Because Ed Martin said that there was J6 prisoners that were unrighteously prosecuted. Is that not right? The problem with Tom Tillis is he's afraid of siding with the truth because of the consequences to himself personally. Just imagine what that makes you as a human being. If you are afraid to stand in righteousness and you are afraid to stand in the truth because of the consequences to you, you're not the one who would take in Anne Frank. You're the one who turns in Anne Frank, Tom Tillis. And I guarantee you, he's probably 6 times vaccinated, dutifully wore a mask, dutifully social distance, dutifully quarantined himself like the idiot he's always been. But he has the look of a conservative Republican like Mike Pence. And they try to talk in a slow, sort of genuine, fake, genuine kind of way. But he doesn't want Ed Martin because Ed Martin actually said that the people were wrongfully prosecuted. And Tillis goes, in some cases, he was right. Okay. If you're going to make this vast judgment about whether or not to confirm somebody based on one piece of subject matter, which would be J6, not Ed Martin's entire career. Forget that. What he said about J6 or his legal actions about with J6 prisoners, that's what you're going to judge him on. Okay, that's what you're going to do. Then you ought to do a deep dive into J6. What does Tom Tillis know about J6? What Tom Tillis knows about J6 is what the Democrats have told him about J6. He probably believes the J6 Select Committee. He probably believes that the FBI didn't have, they've already confessed to 26 undercover assets in the Crown. But we know it's way more than that. Aaron and I and Will, we tracked DC Metro had an officer in the crowd actually committing felonies on video. So it's way more than 26 people. So does Tom Tillis even know that? Does he have any idea about that at all? Does he realize that Ashley Babbitt was shot through the neck with the SWAT team standing right behind her? That could have simply just grabbed her, but her 115-pound body by the back of her shirt and just pulled her off of the window instead of being shot through the neck by Michael Byrd. I mean, I'm just wondering, does he know any of these things? Does he watch any of the video that proves Harry Dunn is a perjurious liar, that Fanon's a perjurious liar, that Gunnell's a perjurious liar, and that Sicknick was not killed? Does he know any of these things at all? He doesn't know any of these things. He knows nothing. He's one of these people that will, the FBI testifies, we just want to say that we really appreciate your work in the FBI. The FBI is so corrupt, and Tom Tillis has no idea because he doesn't want to know, or he knows and denies it. Just disgusting human beings. Go to the next one for me, Will. All right, bad hombre tweet. Tom Tillis voted to confirm these people, wonderful human beings. He doesn't want to vote in Ed Martin, but he loves Antony Blinken. He loves Janet Yellen, Lloyd Austin, Merrick Garland, Pete Booty Juice himself, and Gina Raimondo, all of which are globalist leftist bourgeois elitists who love to start wars and crash the American economy and usher in CRT and usher in DEI and every woke mechanism you could possibly name. He loves all them, but he's a Republican, Will. He's a Republican, Aaron. How can you be a Republican and just sing the praises of Merrick Garland? Which, by the way, he did. I don't even know where I'm at now. Let me see here. Okay, go to the next one. Here it is. Here's him singing the praises of it right here. Tillis votes, this is March 10th, 2021. Tillis, I'm putting enthusiastically in there, votes to confirm Merrick Garland for U.S. Attorney. Look at the bottom. Merrick Garland, this quote from Tommy Tillis. Merrick Garland has an outstanding record serving our country and has a deep understanding of the law. Did you see his record? See, and again, when I say the name Merrick Garland, this litany of stories come to my mind that I could go into a 30-minute dissertation on, but I'm not going to do it because, again, it's OCD to keep doing it. His experience reflects his extensive legal knowledge and unbiased application of the law and his longstanding reputation of, get this, Aaron, bipartisanship.
Oh.
Merrick Garland raided the home of Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, arrested Navarro, arrested Bannon, filed, I'm trying to think of this, you have the case down in West Palm Beach against Donald Trump, and then the Washington, D.C. case against Donald Trump, dispatched Matthew Colangelo, who was third in charge of the DOJ, dispatched him to the Alvin Bragg New York case. And he has an unbiased application of the law and his long-standing reputation of bipartisanship. Do you see, like, either Tom Tillis, there is no C. He's either stupid or ignorant. Stupid is when you absolutely know better, which is, by the way, my choice, and you do it anyway. Ignorant is when you just don't know any better. He absolutely knows. But he thinks it's politically beneficial to him and to his bottom line. With all of these people, it's all about how do I remain rich and famous. It really is. He loves being famous. He loves to have his boots licked and his butt kissed in every room he walks into. And he will do anything. He will prostrate himself before anything or anybody to continue to get that reputation. That's exactly what he's doing here. Exactly what he's doing here. All right, let's go to the next one. Like Ben Sweet, people are not appreciating the magnitude of the Ed Martin situation. The prosecutor is on top of the FBI. He runs all DC criminal investigations. He is the choke point for DC's worst secrets. If Ed Martin is blocked and Boasberg picks, Trump's 2.0's momentum is totally paralyzed. You see what he does? Look what he does. The prosecutor is on top of the FBI. FBI's DC cases cannot be brought. Can't be brought. You want Epstein's offenders to be charged? Not going to happen unless it goes into the state. Because if it's a RICO case, it'd have to go through D.C. He runs all the D.C. criminal investigations. Instead, Boasberg will choose the person. And that's what Tom Tillis is willing to risk. But you know, why is Tom Tillis willing to risk that Jeb Boasberg picks the D.C. U.S. attorney? Because he is Jeb Boasberg. That's what I keep telling everybody. All of these people need to be removed from office. And people, again, and I don't mean to give you the same dissertation over and over again. Actually, I do because I'm doing correct propagandizing. What's the purpose of electing electable Republicans who vote as Democrats? And not only, and they were like, well, yeah, there's Tom Tillis has a record of voting with Republicans. Yeah, okay, but let's go, if we can, and I never can remember which one's which, but if you just simply use John Thune and John Cornyn, the Johns, John Thune votes with Republicans 52% of the time. That's the leader of the Senate. John Thornton is less than that, or vice versa. I can't remember which one's which in their liberty score. So how are they really on our side when they vote with Democrats 50% of the time and Mike Lee votes with us 94% of the time? The senator out of Utah. Can you imagine Utah has Mittens, Willard, Romney, and Mike Lee as their senators? So how exactly are these people Republicans? Well, because John Thune votes with half of the time. Do you think that any Democrat votes Republican half of the time? What do you think, Aaron?
No.
Do you think any Democrat has a 50% record of voting with Republicans?
No.
Then how do we consider these people to be Republicans? And again, what happens is the argument is Tillis is electable, Thune is electable. Okay, there. Okay, Liberty scores right. Oh my gosh, Liberty scores right here. Aaron, just sent them to Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell votes Republican 44% of the time. So he votes 56% of the time with Democrats. So how is he a Republican? John Cornyn 54% of the time votes with Republicans. So 46% of the time votes with Democrats. John Thune, the leader of the Senate, Senate Majority Leader, and who are competing for Senate Majority Leader? Thune and Cornyn. What a great choice, because Thune votes with us 51% of the time and 49% for all intents and purposes, 50% of the time with Democrats. These are our leaders. And by the way, there's our former Senate Majority Leader and our current Senate Majority Leader. So both our current and former Senate Majority Leaders don't vote with Republicans half the time. That's the perfect plan for Democrats. Go, Aaron.
You know what's crazy is that they have those terrible scores, like Mitch McConnell's 44. He's only 22 ahead of Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar votes with Republicans 22% of the time. How crazy is that?
See what I mean, though? That's the point. We are living under a mirage.
Yeah.
And people, again, well, Mitch McConnell, for sure he'll win every time. Okay, so what? What's the difference if you go and you say, okay, I'm just trying to pick a radical, political figure that's not currently, like, you run Tucker Carlson. I don't know where Tucker lives right now, but I think he lives in Maine. But yeah. So if you run Tucker Carlson, you move him to North Carolina and you run him against Tom Tillis, and people are like, Tucker's not nearly as electable because of all the incendiary comments that he's made. Okay. He's not as electable, correct. And he could lose to the Democrat. Would everybody agree so far? All right, so Tom Tillis wins but votes with Democrats half the time. What's the difference? You might as well lose to the Democrat. What's the difference? And see, that's the game. That's the game they want you to play, is don't run legitimate conservatives because they're quote-unquote unelectable, even though they're not, to get the Republican in that will actually vote as a Democrat. That's the Democrats doing it. These guys are all buddies. Aaron went and watched a Senate proceeding. He did. He went and watched. You can actually watch it. They're all buddies. They all sit in there, hug each other, love each other. All of them, Democrats and Republicans.
Yep.
The people that you think are the most ardent Republicans, no, they're all over Democrats. They love each other. They think they're great. They do. Because they have this mindset in Washington, D.C. Oh, you don't want to be too far to the right. And you don't want to be too far left, although we really are. We're going to come together as the great, the great elite. And we, in our synergistic sort of mind meld of really hyper leftism with a little tinge of fake rhino republicanism, we're going to make all the decisions because Will, Aaron, and Tom, and everybody watching the TLP are too stupid to do it. That's how they think. And I'm talking about most Republicans. I'm telling you, 535 people up there serving in the House and Senate. I'm telling you, 12 are decent human beings. I'm telling you, 12 to 15 decent human beings. The rest of them are absolute rats. Absolute rats, I'm telling you right now. And Tom Tillis revealed who he actually is. All right, now here's a good video from John Fredericks. This is the solution to the problem. Play it for me.
So here's how we get Ed Martin back as U.S. District Attorney for Washington, D.C., which is one of the most critical appointments that President Trump has made. So he needs to resign immediately. That way he can get reappointed under the Vacancy Act. That gives him 220 days. When he came in, he had 120 days. He served 110 of them. Now, what happened yesterday or two nights ago in the committee is Tom Tillis wouldn't vote for him. I told you that story because of J6. There's a 12 to 10 majority that Republicans have on the Judiciary Committee. That 12 to 10, Tillis votes no. That makes it 11-11. He can't get out of committee. He would have lost that vote. No Democrats are going to vote for him. If he had lost that vote, he could not then get appointed under the Vacancy Act. What he has to do now is simply resign today or tomorrow, the next day, and then 2 minutes after he resigns, President Trump can then appoint him to acting district attorney, U.S. attorney of the District of Columbia. So he can continue to serve in that role. So he can still be the D.C. U.S. attorney. That's going to be the key. Now, he can serve there under the Vacancy Act for 220 days. I mean, that's 7 months. I mean, that's a long time. Who knows what's going to happen between now and 7 months? In that time, we primary Tillis. We get him a primary opponent. We primary Tillis. Then when he comes back up, then he's going to have to get Tillis votes. If you don't vote for Ed Martin for U.S. attorney, then I'm not going to endorse you. I'm going to endorse your opponent. That's all you have to do. These people, all they do is operate out of fear. This is the most important opportunity that we have to fix the Washington, D.C. district, and you can only do that with Ed Martin as U.S. attorney. So appoint him under the Vacancy Act, 220 days, 7 months, then we'll go from there.
See, it all does, and it reminds me of the movie A Few Good Men. Remember that, where, you know, Tom Cruise is the attorney, and one of the people that he was representing called Tom Cruise a coward because even though Tom Cruise is a skilled attorney, he was always getting plea bargains for everybody and getting their sentences lowered. The guy wanted to go to trial because he believed that he was correct and wasn't concerned about the consequences. He's like, I'm right, I'm going to win. And he called Tom Cruise a coward, even though Tom Cruise, because of all, you know, other people playing politics, had basically got him a dishonorable discharge. He's going to walk out of prison. Instead, the guy was risking the rest of his life in prison over this. Ended up getting a dishonorable discharge, but no prison. But anyway, and pretty much winning the trial, but got a dishonorable discharge. But you risk it. You know, you stand in righteousness. And just like John Frederick said right there, all of these people operate out of fear. What is Tom Tillis's fear? What other people say? Imagine living like that. Imagine putting people in leadership who are solely influenced by what other people think or say about them. I mean, by the way, that's most pastors. I'm not going to say that because people in the church will be offended. I know that Will and Aaron just thank God every day that I'm not like that, because I'll say everything. I say stuff I shouldn't say. I actually drive people out that shouldn't be driven out. But, you know, if I had to pick, I pick the guy who says too much instead of the guy who's scared to say what he should say.
Yep.
And Tom Tillis is that guy. Everybody operates out of fear. So I love what he said. What Ed Martin needs to do right now is resign. Tonight, they need to do it. He needs to, why not? Resign. It buys us 7 months. But resign tonight. He gets reappointed as the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. And he can serve for 7 more months. And then do it again. Do it again. Resign. Do it again. And then in that time, you primary Tom Tillis. I bet you Tommy comes around then. How much you want to bet with a little phone call from Donald Trump? They picked the right person to primary him in North Carolina. You picked the right one. There's somebody out there that's the right one, and you put the Trump endorsement behind him. Tommy will get in line because you know what? Tommy operates out of fear. He doesn't operate out of principle because he's not doing this out of principle. He doesn't believe anything of what he's doing about J6. He just believes that it politically benefits him to say what he says about J6. That's it. His life was never in danger in J6. Nobody's life was in danger in J6. He wasn't running for his life during J6. Nothing. Nobody outside of protesters was killed during J6. Nothing. I mean, nothing happened except for a 2-hour delay of a vote. And it's a insurrection. And that's how Tom Tillis is going to treat it. Tom Tillis is going to treat it that way because he believes that voters think that it's an insurrection. And if he doesn't tote their line, they won't vote for him. What a coward. What a pathetic coward. Just like the Marine calls Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men. You're a pathetic coward. And that's what you do. Buy Ed Martin 7 more months. And then primary Tillis in the middle of it. Pick the person, and you don't even need to really primary him. Just pick the person and put Trump endorsement behind it, and he'll come around. And you can drop the primary, even though I think he should be primaried out of office because he's a spineless little rhino Republican fake worm. That's who he is. All right. Speaking of those people, here's James Lankford. Remember, this is the guy who wrote again. I could spend the next hour on the border insecurity bill. I could. I'm not going to do it because James Cuckboy Lankford co-authored it with people like Chuckie Schumer as a bipartisan border security bill. Okay, I just got to talk about it for 1 second. Okay, Aaron, can you side by side? Here's Cuckboy Lankford. You hear me talk about him all the time. This is the senator out of Oklahoma. So he decides that he's going to co-anchor the border, you know, because Kamala, Aaron.
Kamala.
She says, you know, we need comprehensive border reform. And the reason why according to James Lankford, the reason why, because he jumps right on board with the Democrats, because for some reason he believes it's politically expedient to do so because he is a principleless coward. But anyway, so he believes that we need comprehensive border reform because it's perfectly natural to have 15,000 illegals crossing the border every single day, right? Now, under Trump, we had 8,000 a month crossing the border in his first term, now zero. So I thought you needed, I thought we needed comprehensive border reform. That's what you pimped and whored and bent over and grabbed your ankles for. It's what you said. Remember, James? You said that. We need comprehensive border reform. We need not only comprehensive border reform, we need bipartisan comprehensive border reform. But Donald Trump did it by himself in 3 days, James. Aaron, can you find the press conference where James came out and said he was wrong? Oh, this doesn't exist. No. Because he's a spineless coward worm. Just a spineless worm. And this is where I miss cussing because there's some words that I'd love to say about this rat bleep. But anyway, so James says you need comprehensive border reform. So he just comes up with a bipartisan bill that allows 5,000. First thing, let's allow 5,000. The first 5,000 people can come in every day. They can come every day. But then you don't even start to count those people. You don't start to count the first 5,000, except if they're Canadians or Mexicans. Everybody else comes in as anytime they want. Venezuelans, Russians, Uzbekistanians, whoever can all come in, because the only thing that counts against the 5,000 is Canadians who never illegally enter into this country and Mexicans who rarely do at this point because all the Mexicans who wanted to illegally immigrate have already illegally immigrated. Now it's everybody coming through the Darien Gap like Costa Ricans, Guatemalans, and Venezuelans. So they did 5,000. The clock doesn't even start unless it's 5,000. So it could be 38,000 everything else. The clock doesn't even start. The count doesn't even start until it's 5,000 Canadians and Mexicans. That was his bill. And he hoarded it. He bent over and pimped and hoarded it as if it was valid. And act and all but hurt when Trump sabotaged it. Why wouldn't you? It's not a border security bill. It's a border infiltration and facilitation bill. What a worthless piece of crap. Speaking of that, the Blaze video, GOP Senator James Cuckboy Lankford says illegal immigrants deserve some due process. Whoa, what a shock. Play for me.
What's been confusing on this is some people see due process like as an American citizen. That's a right to a jury trial. That's all those different things. That's not true for due process for someone who's not a citizen of the United States. It's a different process. It's often just literally what people call an immigration judge. Is not a typical federal judge or a state judge. This is someone that's in the bureaucracy, that their task for DHS is that task on it. So they're a government employee career, that's an immigration judge. So it's a very different process for it. But yes, there is a need to be able to give an opportunity for someone to be able to make an argument before they're removed in the country.
That's not true. That last sentence is what I wanted to hear. I should have just cut it down so you don't have to have the pain of listening to these guys who try to sound intelligent by like using syrupy sort of language. He says they're all due to be every single person. So get this, Cuckboy Lankford, he believes that, you know, depending on who you talk to, it's between 10 and 20 million people are allowed in under the Biden administration illegally into this country. 495,000 confirmed convicted criminals, 30,000 confirmed convicted murderers and rapists were allowed in. Cuckboy Lankford believes that each one of them deserves to be in front of a judge. How are you going to do that to 10, 20 million people? How? It's almost as if he wants them to stay. He does. You're like, well, yeah, but Tom, that defeats the Republican cause. He's not a Republican. He's a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist who profits off of Republican defeat, even though he himself is a Republican. It's the truth. Why would he espouse everything that hurts the Republican Party if he, in fact, was a Republican? Because he's not. He's holding a seat so that a legitimate Republican can't have it at the Democratic Party's behest. That's the point of it all. him and numerous others, again, out of the 535 that serve in the Congress and the Senate, 12 or 13 of those people are quality human beings. The rest of them are whores and prostitutes and pimps. That's really what they are, personally profiting themselves, Republicans and Democrats. And I say that as a devout Republican. And that's why everybody comes against Donald Trump. Look at this. Ed Doherty tweet. Breaking, Congressman Thomas Massey says the House, he's one of the few qualities. He's one of the 12 of the 15. Does that mean I agree with him every time? No, I don't. But I agree with him 90% of the time. Congressman Thomas Massey says the House leadership has canceled votes, Aaron, originally set for this week to cut the wasteful spending founded by Doge.
Oh.
Why is that? Because do you realize that they're actually trying to rebudget that money? Do you know that? Eli's got about one of the true amount that they can verify that he's cut is $160 billion. They are actually trying to rebudget that money. Who's doing it? Right there. There he is, the guy, the second guy, Mikey Johnson, because he's fake. He's not a Republican. How is he a Republican when he, listen, when he bent over and whored himself to pass Joe Biden's omnibus and minibus spending packages? Why? How can he be a Republican? Explain that to me. How can he be this conservative Christian Republican who funds transgender surgeries for trans criminal illegal aliens and children? Explain to me. Aaron, can you help me with that? Can you explain to me how anybody is a Republican who funds Planned Parenthood via the Biden administration? I'm just curious. Because he says that he is. And now, finally, you're supposed to, as a Republican, are you or are you not supposed to be fiscally conservative? But yet he doesn't want to codify Doge spending cuts? Because he had the votes this week. Why were they canceled? Why would they be canceled? So as if Mike Johnson is just like Paul Ryan and trying to slow walk everything so that you say Trump gets 100%, you know, the optimal goal of Donald Trump is to get 100% of his goals accomplished. Well, if Mike Johnson can, he wants to get him, you know, get that thing down to 41%. Then all the while saying, hey, I got you the 41%. But we lost out on 60%. So we have a net loss. USAID and other programs like PBS and NPR were to be targeted. But Mike Johnson cancels the votes. Isn't that weird? It's as if these Republicans are against Donald Trump. It's just like I'm telling you about. Everybody needs to deep dive into the Muslim state of Texas right now. I'm telling you, you need to deep dive into it. It is the absolute freaking twilight zone. Absolutely. You ever have dreams where you're dreaming and like the people all that you love that are know you're like turn against you in your dream? You're like they're weird and they're against you, like weird, you know, out of their minds. Maybe it's just me. But anyway, turn against you. Okay, in Texas, that's what's going on. Is all of these conservatives that are in the House and in the Senate are relinquishing their power to Democrats, even though they're in the majority. Imagine that. They're allowing Democrats to run committees that they're not the majority in. See, like right now in the House and Senate in Washington, D.C., Republicans, some of them spineless worms, but the Republicans are running and they chair all the committees. In Texas, they have the same majorities, even bigger majorities, but yet they let Democrats run and chair committees while they pass Bangladeshi Day, while they pass Pakistani Day, while they have the epic city being built, which is against all civil rights laws of the United States of America, where you're only allowed to live there if you're Muslim, where you have Allah Boulevard and Muhammad Boulevard. It's a fact, by the way. Very strange, isn't it? And you have Islamophobia Awareness Day, voted in by Republicans. They're not Republicans. They campaign as Republicans and legislate as Democrats because nobody pays attention to how they legislate after they vote for them because I did my part. I voted for the Republican. No, you need to see how that quote unquote Republican actually votes. Same thing here with Mikey Johnson. All right, let's go to the next thing here. I don't even know where I'm at. Okay, here we go. I just want to show you the fraud, the need for Doge, the need for codifying Doge. Some of this has to do with Doge. Some of it doesn't. But you never know. You never know what tentacles of government-funded NGOs reach out and touch these other non-government-funded NGOs. All right, Matthew E., let's try, Shadker, CEO of ASPCA, makes $1.1 million a year. despite the lengthy and gruesome commercials, and it make me so sad. Like, I mean, my family actually makes me turn the channel because I get locked in on them. I feel so bad for the doggies.
In the arms I do.
Oh
my.
Oh gosh. I do. Yeah. Will you remember me?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I just can't bear it. Okay, so my family's like, "Don't watch it, Dad. Just don't watch it." But here's the problem. So he gets a $1.1 million a year contract. Despite the lengthy and gruesome commercials, ASPCA only gives 2% of its $340 million to animals in need.
Oh, wow.
2%. 2%. Aaron, do me a favor. Times 340 by 0.02. That's how much money.
6.8.
Yeah. So 6 million goes to animals. 6.8 million. Out of the 340. See, this is the epitome. Gosh. A lot of you already knew where I was going with this because if you watch this podcast, you know what I've been saying. All we're about, our country, until Donald Trump came around, was forming NGOs to enrich Democrats. I'll bet you right now we know where Matthew votes. Yeah. They give them a sum right here. This is the ultimate freaking example. It's just like the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation. They're given $340 million. I guarantee you some of that's government. But it doesn't matter because still it's an NGO, it's a non-government organization, giving $340 million to save animals. They pay themselves $334 million to give animals $6 million. Is that clear, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. But same with the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation, raised $36 million in 1 year. They gave away $5 million. They're supposed to give away $36 million. They paid themselves $31 million to give away $5 million. This is what's happening in all of these NGOs. All right, go to the next one for me. So I just want to show you this one. Janti whatever, Sirripto, president of CEO of Save the Children, Aaron. These are the border child traffickers who save the children. Remember, whenever you look at one of these NGOs' title, what they do is the opposite of the title they've given themselves. So they are all about harming the children. Killing the children. These are the people who facilitated 400,000 kids into the ether of disappearance. They're gone. And this worthless whore, piece of crap. Yeah, whore. This woman does this. Look how friendly she looks. She looks like a typical libtard moron that bangs bongo drums in a drum circle on Nokomis Beach. Just, that's what she looks. But you think that these people are these good liberal, but no. She makes $629,000 a year to sex traffic children across the border. Another NGO, I would love to see their books. I mean, I would love. We know she makes $630,000 a year. We got that. I would love to see how much they actually make and how much they actually give in any way, shape, or form to children. I'll bet you that it lines up with the ASPCA. Go to the next for me, Will. So here's another AP news. Jill, just about the Save the Children. Jill Biden named board chair of aid group Save the Children. Wow, I wonder how much Jill gets paid from that NGO. Down at the bottom, Save the Children, concerned about Biden executive order. Save the Children is deeply concerned with President Biden's announced executive order to increase asylum restrictions at the border. Look at the date. Why did he do that, Aaron? June of 2024. Didn't do it in any of 2021. Nothing in 2022. Nothing in 2023. Nothing for half of 2024. And then suddenly he wants to increase it, asylum restrictions. Why is, and then of course, Save the Children is concerned about it because they don't want any of their NGO flow to be constricted. But of course, Biden never would have done it anyway. He's just espousing that he would. And then if Kamala got elected, they'd be facilitating kids for another 400,000 to disappear into sex trafficking, labor trafficking for the rest of their life, a life of rape until they murder you and bury you 6 feet under. That's what these lovely human being Democrats do. That's who they are. All right, let's go to the next one. Davey Darkin's video. Oh, this is one of my favorites. And I'm kind of leaning in. I'm going to have to skip some of this stuff because I got to get to some crazy Dem stuff. I hope nobody minds if I skip the James O'Keefe thing. I mean, James O'Keefe has the undercover guy who's deep embedded into the royal family who says that Prince Andrew did actually sleep with underage girls. I think we've all know that already. I mean, credit to James O'Keefe's awesome. I'm just saying credit to him. I mean, if we do it, we'll do it. But anyway, I can't believe it's already 950. But anyway, this does line up with crazy Dems. But Davey Darkin's video, Congressman Dean accuses Kash Patel of weaponizing the FBI, but she forgets how Democrats use the FBI to raid political opponents. Play it for me.
I was an impeachment manager for President Trump's second impeachment. It was a sad, solemn duty. And so I wanted to ask you about that. Mr. Patel, as you and the president continue to weaponize and investigate his perceived enemies, as you follow this blueprint, when can I, a former impeachment manager, expect the FBI at my door?
Ma'am, you want to know who was targeted by a weaponized FBI? Me. You want to know how and why?
Well, you
want to know what I'm doing to fix it?
Let me move on.
Well, you should read the book because there's no enemies list on that book. There are people that violated their constitutional obligations and their duties to the American people.
That's good.
And they were rightly called out. And you should give that book to every one of your constituents so they can read about it.
I won't be doing that.
That's their loss.
That's how you handle these people. I'm not a big fan of Bondi right now. I am still a huge fan of Kash Patel. So she says that her, you know, she was an impeachment manager. So she was the one of the prosecutors for Donald Trump's Ukrainian impeachment, which, again, there's so many things pop into my head about that, you know, whether it's Vindman and everything. I mean, the whistleblower, all that. But so that was her solemn duty. And she's claiming, and Will brought this up, she's claiming that the FBI has been weaponized. Tell me where. What case is it? Again, it goes back to all these trans people saying that there's a trans genocide being committed against them. Where? Who's killing trans people? Where is it? I don't see it. And she says the weaponization of the FBI. Where are the arrests exactly? Who has the FBI been weaponized against? Because if the FBI has been weaponized, there must be a multitude of arrests somewhere. I don't see them. Actually, Will's like, where is, I would like that. Me too. I want it. We're 100 days in, 105, 6, 7, 8 days in now. Anthony Fauci should already be arrested. The Epstein files, there already should be 30, 40 arrests out of the Epstein files right now already. I mean, if anything, I want the FBI to be more weaponized. This woman, will the FBI show up at my doorstep? I don't know. Did you commit a crime? Remember, it doesn't matter because no one's above the law, Miss Dean. Let's go to the next one. Western Lensman video. Here's Madeline Dean again defending Judge Dugan. The FBI arrested a judge in Wisconsin for, this is a quote from her, quote, the FBI arrested a judge in Wisconsin for correctly asking ICE officials if they had a judicial warrant instead of an administrative warrant. So she says that the judge acted correctly. However, she left out the part where Dugan tried to help an illegal evade federal law enforcement by sneaking them out the back door of the court herself. Play for me.
A few weeks ago, as we saw through a social media post that you quickly deleted, the FBI arrested a judge in Wisconsin for correctly asking ICE officials if they had a judicial warrant instead of an administrative warrant, which they did not have. Despite this judge following the law, on the morning of April the 25th, the FBI arrested the judge in an escalation of the weaponization of the FBI under your leadership.
So imagine being, and again, you might get tired of hearing this, but you have to be on the attack with these people and call them out for being the disingenuous freaks that they are. So this woman actually, remember now, Kash Patel is sworn in there. So this is all under oath. It's congressional testimony. And this woman just absolutely lies. Remember, she's the one that would actually charge him with perjury if he lied. But she's going to lie, be like a judge lying in a trial. So she says the FBI arrested the Wisconsin judge because she asked ICE officials what kind of warrant that they had. That's so they snapped up and arrested her right then, right? That's what this lady is espousing. Even though she knows, imagine what it's like to wake up and be absolutely devoid of all integrity, to have no soul whatsoever. That is Madeline Dean, because she says that these ICE officials swooped down. They were like, you know what? You just asked us what kind of warrant we have. You're under arrest. Is that what happened? Is that what happened at all? No, what happened is that Judge Dugan stopped the domestic battery hearing, stopped it in its tracks and said, I need to see the defense attorney and the plaintiff defendant, I need to see them in chambers. She stopped it. ICE officials are in that are in the courtroom. She then secretes them back to her chambers. Okay, still not arrested. And then takes them out a secret door that the public is not accessible to. It's not accessible to the public. And the guy takes off running and a foot pursuit ensues. That's what happened. And then he got arrested. And then she got arrested 2-3 days later. That's what happened. But this woman, Madeline Dean, is so disingenuous, so dishonest, and so devoid of human dignity. She says that Judge Dugan was arrested because she asked them what kind of warrant they had. Is that what happened? Not remotely. Not remotely what happened. What a freaking liar. All right, on to the next one. Speaking of liars, let's deep dive into the FBI's lies about Steve Scalise shooting. This actually, I'm not a big fan of Steve Scalise, but I like him with this. The FBI, this is him. This is his own post. It's shown on Fox News, but it's his Twitter post. The FBI deliberately withheld facts and falsely claimed the congressional baseball shooting. It was a suicide by cop. The congressional baseball shooting in 2017 was anything but a suicide by cop. It was motivated by a statement made by Bernie Sanders. The guy had a hit list on him that the FBI took into evidence. Is that a suicide by cop? Jim Jordan was on the hit list. And about every Republican, because that was a Republican baseball practice, the guy goes out there with an AR-15 and starts to try to kill everybody on the field. And it's a suicide by cop? When he has a hit list and he's actually motivated by what Bernie Sanders said, that, quote, what Republicans, again, claiming that Republicans are committing genocide that don't exist, that never exists, never actually happens. Bernie Sanders said that the Republicans' legislative changes they were trying to enact with Medicaid and Medicare were going to kill people. So this guy used that as an incentive to go out and mow down Republicans with an AR-15. And it's suicide by cop. Play it for me.
Well, Sean, you know, God answered a lot of prayers that day, but when the FBI initially pulled those of us from the baseball shooting into a hearing after we got out of the hospital, they called it suicide by cop. We were so offended, we walked out of the hearing. We said, how can you call that suicide by cop when he tried to kill the two cops that were with me that day? David Bailey and Crystal Griner were both shot during the shootout, and the shooter tried to kill all of us that day, and it was politically motivated, and yet in their report, they said it wasn't politically motivated, and in fact, they withheld facts that the shooter had on his person that showed that he had political motivations to then say falsely that it wasn't politically motivated. You know, this begs the question, why was the FBI trying to mislead back in 2017? I applaud Kash Patel for getting the facts out and getting the record corrected. But the FBI in 2017 falsely put out information. Look, Jim Jordan's name was on that shooter's hit list, too. And he had very dire intentions to kill Republicans. That's what he said he wanted to do. It wasn't suicide by cop. And yet the report by the FBI initially tried to claim it was. It was false.
Aaron just told me Steve Scalise votes with us 58% of the time. So he votes with Democrats 42% of the time. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you think that when you vote for a conservative Republican, they would vote for us at least 90% of the time? Wouldn't you? Steve Scalise votes with Democrats 42% of the time, almost 50% of the time. Again, fake. Absolute. What he said there was correct. An absolute cover-up by the FBI on to benefit Bernie Sanders. I mean, Bernie Sanders is not culpable in that incident. He did not. Again, if you go by today's law, if you go by how they treated Donald Trump, then Bernie Sanders would be in federal prison for the rest of his life. Because Donald Trump didn't do one thousandth of what Bernie Sanders did. And he got blamed for the Fedsurrection. Bernie Sanders actually said Republicans are killing people. Donald Trump never said anything like that. Okay, now here's the video of the night going into the crazy dem section of the show. Here she is again. Well, here's Madeline here side by side. She looks like a happy person, doesn't she? Doesn't she look like just a gloriously happy person? Yeah. The Democrat from Pennsylvania, 4th District, Madeline Dean. She just looks like a really happy person. She looks like she'd just melt you with a wretched, horrible, demonic sulfur breath. But anyway, so here she is again. And listen to these asinine assertions that she makes at Kash Patel. Play it for me.
Against January 6th insurrectionists, the violent rioters who beat and killed Capitol Police officers, and whom you referred to as political prisoners. Since then, multiple whistleblowers have come forward, and we know that you likely committed perjury. At the same hearing, you claimed you were not familiar with Stu Peters, an anti-Semitic Holocaust denier, despite the fact that you appeared on Mr. Peters' podcast 8 separate times. 8 times. And you claimed not to recall. Mr. Patel, my second question is, should we worry more about your memory or your veracity?
We should worry more about your lack of candor. You're accusing me of committing perjury. Tell the American people how I broke the law and committed a felony. Have the audacity to actually put the facts forward instead of lying for political banter so you can have a 20-second donation hit.
The answer is both. I believe that
the answer is you're failing, not me.
I reclaim my time.
Go ahead.
Mr. Patel, I believe that the members of the FBI, and I know many of them, many retired, 38,000 people, as you say, it's a little less than that now, deserve the very best, deserve extraordinary independence, deserve freedom from the fears of being investigated, the freedom of coming forward to make sure they're doing their job.
Now, Aaron, do me a favor, just roll back a moment because I'm going to play like the first 10 seconds of that video. Now, let me just address this real quick, and then I just want to talk about her snotty attitude. Again, so she asserts, here we are, the date today is what, Aaron? What are we, May 7th of 2025. The Fed's erection occurred January 6th, 2021, right? So we are talking about roughly, what, 4 years and 4 months ago-ish. So almost 4 years, 5 months ago. So 4 years, 4 months ago. She believes that officers were beaten and killed. She either believes it. So she's either incredibly stupid because no officers were killed at all. Or she is propagandizing like Joseph Goebbels. So which one is it? Imagine you are either Goebbels or you are stupid. That's the choice for this woman, Madeleine Dean. And listen to her little snotty attitude. Play for me again.
Against January 6th insurrectionists, the violent rioters who beat and killed Capitol police officers and whom you referred to as political prisoners.
Back to me. See how immature she is? Political prisoners. I mean, what are you, 12? That's the director of the FBI. And you're going to use a little sarcastic 12-year-old. And you, political prisoners. You sound like I did when I was in the fourth grade. Making fun of Dallas Cowboy fans. That's what you sound like. I mean, you sound absolutely ridiculous. That's what it means. Crazy Dems 2025. And again, it's just like Charlottesville. You know, Trump said there's good people on both sides. I'm sure she's still espousing that. Where J6 protesters, and she was so fervent about it in her demonic convictions. Beat and killed police officers. Give us the names of who was killed, please. I mean, if you're going to make that assertion, wouldn't you be able to name the names? I mean, because wouldn't they be just absolutely just codified in American history? Since J6, according to these saved Democrats, was worse than Pearl Harbor. That's what they say. Worse than 9/11. Aaron and I, we could come up with an hour-long montage of all the Democrats who said it's worse than Pearl Harbor. It's worse than 9/11. 9/11, almost 3,000 people died. Regardless of how it happened, which we all know the CIA did it, it doesn't matter. 3,000 people died, and there were a lot of heroes trying to save people. Just like World War II happened, not under the auspices that we think it did, but the people who stormed the beaches of Normandy are, in fact, heroes. So lots of the... Even parallel them, even to compare them is ridiculous. How many people died on 1/6? We have Roseanne Borland, we have Ashley Babbitt, and I believe one other protester died. Not one police officer died or even was severely injured. Gunnell claims he was, but we have the video showing that he wasn't. Fanon claims he was, we have the video showing that he wasn't. Of course, they all went and perjured themselves to get sentence enhancements on J6 persecuted prisoners. Imagine still espousing that 4 years and 4 months later. Name the officers, please name them. I would love to see that. in a little snot rag voice. All right, let's go to the next one. Gunther Eagleman video. I love how he titled this. Here's the big-bodied, bald-headed Iona Presley. Play it for me.
Heard from Democrats publicly, and I'm certain you've heard from Republicans privately, that this administration's reckless and chaotic tariff policy is wreaking havoc on our economy. Rather than delivering stability for our country, this Trump tariff tantrum has been inconsistent, counterproductive, and disconnected from reality. In my district of Massachusetts 7th, I'm hearing it from everyone. Small business owners are reeling from the unpredictable on-again, off-again tariffs. They're holding back on expansion, delaying hiring, and bracing for the impact. Local and state officials are telling me about the effect tariffs will have on our state budget. Simultaneously, Massachusetts will see energy bills increase while revenue from tourism will decrease. But I want to focus on the constituent outreach that I've received from everyday families who are just fighting to make ends meet. Yes or no? Mr. Secretary, do you know what a car seat is?
I have two children, yes.
Imagine that. You are asking somebody who is glad. Listen, Scott Bessent, yes, he's gay. Yes, he's married to a man. Yes, he has children. Okay? That's the way that it is. But in fairness to him, and if he doesn't repent of his homosexuality, Galatians 5:19, Revelation 21:8, okay, he's going to hell for it. Okay? So then everybody knows where I stand. But he is certainly way more successful than the Iona Presley. Way more, way smarter, way more successful in every single possible way. And she sits there and goes, do you know what a car seat is? That's a Democrat in 2025. Freaking crazy, moronic idiots. And I love how she talks about her alleged constituency that she talks to every day. You couldn't get within 10 feet of that woman if you weren't financially beneficial to her. You couldn't get within 10 feet of her. And she alleges she's going to tell me that she talks to her constituents every day. We all know it's lies. She's lying in a hearing where if Bessent lies, he'll be criminally prosecuted. It's freaking crazy, crazy people. Let's go to this one. Riley Gaines video. This is the crazy Dem section of the show. President of the National Women's Law Center, get this, says the best way, the president of the National Women's Law Center, who likes to abort 500,000 women a year in the United States alone, but allegedly is an advocate for women, says the best way to ensure female volleyball players don't suffer injuries, get this, Aaron, get this solution, from men who say they're girls is by banning spiking the ball altogether.
Oh.
Play for me.
You stated your organization's mission is to ensure safety and opportunity for all girls. Was Peyton McNabb safe on September 1st of 2022?
It sounds like she definitely wasn't. And
thank
what happened
you.
To her was tragic. I would argue, though, thank that you. The answer is to ensure that people can't spike volleyballs into people's heads. That seems unsafe.
Thank you for your answer, Ms. Graves.
So your solution is not to get the man out of the sport that fractured the skull of Peyton McNabb. Because he's a fully penised man spiking a ball at 100 miles an hour in a women's volleyball tournament, rockets off her head and fractures her skull. The solution for the president of the National Women's Law Center is to eliminate spiking out of volleyball. How do you ever score a point then, moron? That's like 50% of the points that are scored are via spikes.
Right.
That's like saying, you know what? Let's take driving out of golf. Let's take passing out of football so that nobody's injured during an interception. No, how about you take the swinging ding-a-ling out of the women's sport? Very easy to spot. There it is. That, I mean, it's so easy. I mean, just imagine how disingenuous and how devoid of connection to reality you have to be a Democrat in 2025. Kind of lost my place there, shuffling my papers. Oh, here's Riley Gaines again. Where am I at, Will?
Yeah, Riley Gaines.
Okay, happening now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm throwing my papers all over the place, and I lost where I was. All right, Riley Gaines video. Happening now at the University of Washington, Seattle protesters chant, God is trans. Play for me. That's what it means to be a Democrat, right? That's the spot I need right there. I mean, this is Democrat right here in 2025. That's Democratic Party. Not one of those people votes for us. So again, like James Carville can't stand the guy, but he comes out and says, you know what? This is the problem that we have. Is this where you're going to scream, God is trans. And he was actually attacking Ilhan Omar for saying that white men kill more people in the United States than anybody else. That's what she said. He's like, that's the insanity. Look at what it says. God is a dyke. God is trans, they're screaming. I'm trying to read some of the other little stupid signs. But anyway, so you're like, okay, well, that's these nutbags. They're out on the street. Well, let's go to the next one. Libs of TikTok video. Well, here's Democratic Colorado State Senator Chris Colker. Play for me.
I'm accountable to Almighty God because I'm standing up for equality. That my decisions one day, I will stand before him and be accountable. Well, this is what I believe. You ever seen that movie, Talladega Nights? And you see that section where they're talking around the dinner table and they're talking about what their favorite version of Jesus is. All right, baby Jesus. I love baby Jesus. And the guy goes, well, I love Lynyrd Skynyrd Jesus when angels are behind him and the choir is singing and he's playing Freebird. Well, my day of judgment, I might be standing in front of trans Jesus. I don't know. I don't know. It's what I believe. And I believe that Jesus, God, will look at me and say, you stood up for people. You stood up for those who were less fortunate, who struggled. You may pass. You may enter. I encourage an aye vote.
So he believes he's going to stand before trans Jesus. And again, right there, I mean, I could go, it's 10:13, I could go on a 30-minute dissertation about what he believes. Because it's not about what you believe. When Jesus was out in the desert and the devil was tempting him, that's a 40-day fast, baby, no food. So you are vulnerable. What did Jesus do? Jesus never said, what I believe. What he said was, it is written.
Amen.
I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name.
That's right.
That's why you don't pick Lynyrd Skynyrd Jesus. As much as I love Lynyrd Skynyrd, it's my favorite band on the planet. I'm just saying. You don't speak, and you don't quote Ricky Bobby from the hallowed halls of the Colorado State Senate, which the stuff going on in Colorado is an absolute abomination. Speaking of abominations, let's go to this one. XXXY Athletics video. More on Marissa Aaron Roethlisberger. There's Marissa. This is Marissa. The male pitcher dominating women's high school softball in Minnesota under Tampon Tim. Play it for me.
Meet Marissa Roethlisberger, a male pitcher absolutely dominating girls softball in Champlin, Minnesota.
And the pitch. Roethlisberger back in the fifth. Swing and a miss here first. 0-2 pitch. Strike.
Roethlisberger at 6 feet tall appears to tower over his female competition. In this game on May 6, 2025, he threw 7 strikeouts and shut out the opposing team. Apparently, Rothenberger's batting against average is .128, meaning opposing girl players only hit 12% of his pitches, which is considerably better than elite MLB players. He recently had an absurd 14 strikeouts in a single game. What was really amazing was listening to the dense male announcers as they gush about Rothenberger's wingspan and how hard he throws it.
See how she whips it? The long arms is just such an advantage.
Wow.
The whip action of that long arm for Rothenberger.
He's a boy, guys. Get it? He's male. And it's cheating. Stop gushing. The male coach who coaches Rothenberger was gushing too.
Our pitchers do a phenomenal job. We have Marissa Rothenberger. They keep us in every game.
What's not to like about having a male ringer on the team? Except it's cheating, of course. Rothenberger is apparently hoping to get recruited onto a women's softball team in college somewhere, and I found his profile on recruiting sites. But hopefully this helps expose the cheater before he can cheat any more girls out of their opportunities, scholarships, and victories.
And what amazes me the most about it is this, is the girls, yeah, side by side. Okay, big bulge out front there. But anyway.
Marissa.
Where's Marissa? Rothenberger. Yeah, it's funny, I don't ever see that giant bulge in front of all the other, well, the women. But anyway,
right?
I don't think you need to have a giant, this is an interesting point. Why is it that you even need a cup, Marissa? Yeah.
To protect my vagina.
to protect your female penis.
Yes.
There is a great Ricky Gervais thing, you know. Her penis.
Yeah. You bigot.
You bigot. So here you have this guy. And what confounds me the most about this is when he strikes out all these people, all the girls running them, great job. And you think that it's virtuous. Look at me. I am on board with this. I'm on board with being nice. I'm on board with acceptance. While you're destroying your own future. Because he now wants to be recruited into college. Once all of these guys that could never make a male baseball team, because the worst male baseball player is the best female softball player in the state. Understand that. I'm talking about a regular male baseball player who can't quite make varsity is better than every woman in the state. Listen, Serena Williams said so in reference to Andy Roddick on the David Letterman show. Maybe it wasn't Letterman, but whatever, one other show she was on. She was asked, what would happen? Because they were like, you could take on the men. She was like, no, I can't. I mean, God bless her for that. I don't know what else her life's about. I know she's Mormon, but whatever. I don't know, or Jehovah's Witness. But the thing is, that one moment, good for her. She's like, Andy Roddick would beat me because they were the number one and number one player on the planet, female, male. She said, he would beat me 6-0, 6-0, 6-0 in a three-set match. Because she said, I could never return one of his. That's the way that it is. So why is no female transitioning and playing the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball or MMA? Why? Because it doesn't work that way. The only way that it works, once again, is for men to invade women's spaces, as always. Why are no women trying to transition so they can go to men's bathrooms? No women are trying to do that. Yeah, I know there's exceptions, but I'm just saying on the whole, that's not happening. It's also the pervs can get off on going into women's bathroom and maybe they get a glimpse. That's what they want. But it's just amazing to me how women will sow the seeds of their own demise to appear virtuous. It's amazing to me. Look how we accept everything. See, people think that's Christianity. Where do you they think it's morality. Okay, where do you draw the line then? Because people will say, you have acceptance is a moral attribute. Okay. And if you don't, you are missing virtue or morality. Okay, well, where is the acceptance line then? If acceptance in and of itself is morality, is good morals and good virtue, then do you accept a pedophile? You didn't accept them, so you don't have good morals then? Okay, which is not very far off of this. Would you accept murder then? If you don't accept, and people are like, you're not Christ-like. This is the problem. This is poured into the church. You're not Christ-like if you're not accommodating and accepting. All right, so then I need to be accepting of a murderer? I accept, I'm a murderer, I'm going to continue my murderous ways, and for you not to accept it and tolerate it and accommodate it makes you a lousy person? See, there's a line there. Okay, if you have a person who struggles with depression, and you're like, okay, I don't accept your depression. I'm going to accept you as a human being, try to get you out. That's one thing. I can't sit there. You cannot abide with things like a man pretending to be a woman. You cannot accommodate it. You cannot accept it. And it doesn't make you morally viable to do so. It doesn't make you morally correct or virtuous to do so. You look this man in the eye who's pitching like 60 mile an hour pitches to girls, and they have a 1.128% batting average against them with a cup on. He has a penis. That's his advantage. Aaron was talking about it. The goofy cuck boy accommodating announcers who believe they're virtuous by going along to get along. Oh, it's his long arms. No, it's his penis. That's his advantage. Okay, his advantage is penis. I'll give Will's final point. Let's see how long it is until one of those girls on that team is pregnant with the baby of that. Just like in the women's prisons, where the guy identifies as a woman, and then lo and behold, goes in and rapes female inmates. All right, 10:21. That's good. I got more, but we got so much on crazy Dems. But anyway, holy moly, look at the rant list tonight. Texas Billy, $75. Thank you so much. Nate Dad 1, $50. Nude Monk, $45. Black Pit Bull Art, $20. Hassle Free TV, $20. Peace Us, $20. Goozy, $600, $10. Hefner, $10. Green Rose Patriot, $5. Christopher Arnott, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Love you guys. Love you guys in the chat. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you guys. I love you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.